You have your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 2. Been looking at the last couple of Sunday mornings about can we trust? We're living in days when we need someone or something that we can trust, and I certainly encourage us to realize that. I use the illustration of going to Pilot Mountain and seeing that hook into that rock. And those people who were climbing up and down those rocks, those cliffs, would tie ropes to those anchors and would trust the anchor and trust the rope and trust the rock. They literally, listen, were depending on those rocks, those ropes, those anchors for their lives. If that rock, that rope, that anchor let go, their lives would come to an end. They were depending on. That's what the word trust means. It means to believe, to trust, to depend on completely. And that's what we need to realize this morning. We can trust. I mentioned first that we can trust the Scriptures. I asked the question, can we trust the Word of God? And our answer was certainly we can. We don't have to doubt what it says. When he says something, he said it because he meant it. And when God says something, he never lies. We can. Can we trust the Scriptures? Sure we can. Then I mentioned last week, can we trust the Savior? Do we really have a Savior we can depend on for our salvation, for our security, for our supply? We certainly can. But this morning, I want to look at one more thought about can we trust the saints? It may seem a little bit strange, but it is so important to us to realize how much others should mean to us. We're a part of a family. We're called children. We're called sheep. We're called soldiers. And all those means that there's somebody you're depending on. Verse 42 of Acts 2 said, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Notice the next two words, and fellowship. That's not something to be brushed over. That isn't just something God just sort of put in to have a little bit of place to add some space to the Bible and keep on to the important stuff. The word fellowship is an important word. It means, listen to this, a partnership for mutual benefit of those involved. A partnership for the mutual benefit for those involved. Simply put, it means this, I need you and you need me. I said it already, we're a part of a family. It says in John 17:21, Jesus praying and said, that they, the disciples, the believers, may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. Part of his prayer was that we would be as one, just like he and the Father. We are to be combined. We are to be connected. Mark 3:14 said, he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. What it says is he chose some men, some people with flesh on, and he chose them first to be with him, to be affected by his ministry and by his presence. But then he also says that he sent them forth to preach. In other words, he was choosing some men to use as tools to accomplish his will. And we need to recognize that this morning. If you're a believer, you are a tool in the hand of God. He wants to use you in a mighty way. Think about it. He used man to write the Bible, to pen it down. He uses men to preach and to teach, and ladies to teach children and other ladies. He uses men, he uses mankind, he uses believers to sing the gospel like Brother Butch and you and Brother Joy just did. He uses mankind to witness and to tell others about him. That's what it says in Mark 3, that he sent them forth to preach. He uses people to encourage others. He uses people sometimes to rebuke others. I don't like that near as good. I'm saying that he uses people as a tool in his hands to accomplish his word. And we need to realize this morning, we can trust the saints. Now, does that mean we can trust all saints at all times? Of course not. You can be hurt, you can be hindered, you can be devastated by someone in the family, but that does not undo this fact. We need each other, and there are some people you can trust to be a help to you. I'm glad this morning we can answer this question. Can we trust the saints with an affirmative? Yes, we can. He uses us as tools. And if I don't let people help me, I am hindering myself because he uses people to help people. And if I don't let people help me, I'm not only hindering myself, I'm hindering God. Because it is, again, people that he uses as tools to help people. I have talked to people, I've heard people, and maybe I've said it occasionally myself, I don't need anybody. I can do it myself. Well, I want to tell you that's wrong. God has designed us where we need people. In fact, that's my first point, a special design. If you notice what it says, you don't have to turn, but listen to this. John 13:34, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. He said it twice in one verse, that we are to love one another. That means more than just ooey-gooey love. It means we are to help each other, to be there for each other, to trust each other, to depend on each other. So I see there it says that we are to love one another. And I think about this, a special design. Do you know how God made man? He made him, of course, from the dust of the earth. But if you notice what he said in the book of Genesis, he looked at the creation and he looked at this and he looked at that he had done, and he said, it is good, it is good, it is good. Then he said, it is very good. But then he says something very interesting. This is God speaking. It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. After all the things that God had made, and he said, it is good, it is good, it is good, it is good, and it is very good. Now he says, it is not good that man be alone. If you read those verses, you'll find out that God said that right after he brought all the animals by Adam and said, you name the animals. So the whole creation had been examined, if you will. And the beauty of the creation wasn't enough. Adam needed something else, and all the animals that God had created wasn't enough. Adam needed something else. Listen to this. Even God himself, I say this carefully, wasn't enough. He needed something else. And God said, I am going to fill that void in man by giving him someone and a helpmeet for him. That's a special design. God designed man. God designed people where they need people. You can't do it on your own. You do need people, and I said, Ian, you can trust people. We can trust the saints. It is something that God has designed. That word there where it says an helpmate, that doesn't mean a servant or a slave. It literally means one like him, and it means to be taken from him. In other words, Eve was just like Adam. And Eve, someone was there to help Adam. By the way, Adam needed Eve, and Eve needed Adam. You know what that means? God designed it that way. For we need someone. I'll say it again before I quit. You need somebody, and you can trust someone in your life. They were in the same boat. They were in the same kind of bodies. By the way, when God said about Adam, he needs somebody. He was in a perfect environment. Garden of Eden. He had a perfect body without flaw or sickness. He had a perfect mind without any confusion or limitation. And yet God said he still needs somebody. And I say this morning, we need somebody. Eve was not inferior or superior. She was just like him. And I say this morning, we are all in the same boat. We're all in the same world. We're all in the same mess. We're all in the same flesh. We're all in the same family. We all have the same Father if you're saved. The special design, God designed it to where people needed people. I say this morning, you need somebody. Do you trust them? Do you let them help you? Not only a special design, but I want to mention this, a selfish desire. That verse said in verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, that ye love someone else. But you know what? That's not our natural tendency. Our natural tendency is to say, what about me? Like Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? What difference does it make to me or you, God, if I don't do just right or if I don't take care of him? Where's he at? I don't know. Of course, he's lying. But in essence, God would have said, yes, you are your brother's keeper. It does matter where he said, at least it ought to. I'm talking about a selfish desire. We want to keep number one, number one. He said we're to love one another. Our flesh says, I want to love me. What about me? What about my desire? What about someone taking care of me? What about someone pleasing me? What about someone serving me? We all have the flesh that wants my way. Instead of worrying about someone else, I want to worry about me. I have mentioned a special design. God designed us all to where we need someone. I've mentioned also a selfish desire. Our tendency is to want me to be taken care of in my way. But I want to mention number three, a sensible dependence. Do you hear through this verse? He said, love one another. Love one another. Love one another. That means, sure, I'm to love you. But listen, I'm to let you love me. A dependence. The whole message has been this. You need somebody. You need to be willing to depend on someone to be a tool in God's hands. If we don't let people help us, we are limiting ourselves, but also we're limiting God because God uses people as a tool to work in our lives to help us. So I want to say number three, a sensible dependence. In other words, I am saying we should see the benefit in a right way of having someone that cares about us, someone who loves us, someone who will help us, and we need to depend on them. Now, I want to tell you, those climbers on Pilot Mountain, I wouldn't care how strong the rope looked or how big the rock looked or how deep the anchor was or anything else. I wouldn't have trusted those ropes or that anchor or that rock because I ain't climbing no mountain. Number one, I couldn't. I could come down real fast. I don't know about going up. But I am saying there are some people you can trust. God will put someone in your life to help you. But are you going to let them? Will you realize this morning you need somebody and you can trust somebody? God will put them there. A sensible dependence. What does that mean? We're to depend on people, but do it sensibly. In other words, people can hurt you, and people can harm you, and people can hinder you. And the devil is an expert of putting the wrong person in our lives at the right time to where he harms us. Do you hear that? The devil can put the wrong person in our lives at his right time to harm us and to hinder us. But God can put the right person in your life at the right time to help you. And there's a sensible dependence. In other words, I know their flesh like me. And I'm going to be sensible about it. I won't trust them 100% because they're flesh and they may let me down. their flesh, and they're limited in knowledge. Their flesh, and they're limited about what they could do to help me. But they can help me, so I'm going to depend on them. I'm going to trust. I'm asking this morning, can we trust the saints? In other words, I'm saying, put your life to the hands of those that love you and let them be a help to you. I said again, they are God's tool to help you and me. And we need to be careful, of course, because we can be hurt and can be harmed, but at the same time, we may be helped. I have mentioned first a special design. God designed you where you need somebody. A selfish desire, your old flesh just like mine, wants your way and not others. We want to be loved and not to love. And then also a sensible dependence. We need to depend on people in a sensible way. But then also a spiritual dedication. Again, it says, as I have loved you, love others and let them love you like I have loved you. Do you hear that? It isn't just that you're supposed to love others. I'll get to that. But we are to let them love us just like God loves us. I'm talking about a spiritual dedication. In other words, we're saying, I'm going to let people love me. I'm going to depend on others. I'm going to let God use them to help me. Listen to what Paul said in Galatians 6:2. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Did you hear that? So bear ye one another, me and you, you and me. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. He said, when you do this, you're doing what God said do. We're to bear one another's burdens. That means you bear mine and I help bear yours. You help me and I help you. That's the way God designed it. We need to be willing to admit, I need somebody. Sure, I need God, but I need somebody. I need the person that God's going to put in my life to help me. And since I need somebody, guess what? Somebody needs me. Bear ye one another's burden. You bear theirs and they bear yours. That means we are to give ourselves. That's what I'm talking about. A spiritual dedication. I give myself to others. So how do I do that? Well, I've thought of some words I want to close with. Don't get too excited about that word, close. I thought about the word sacrifice. I'll be honest. It is not easy for me to accept help from anyone. It is not easy for me to admit that I need someone, but this Bible says I do. And this Bible says that God will give me the people I need to help me. But I need to be willing. I need to sacrifice my pride, sacrifice our ego, sacrifice our self-will, and say, I'm going to let God use someone to help me. The word sacrifice. By the way, that also means I'm willing to help them. Not only is God putting people in my life to be tools that can help me, but God has put me in people's lives that I might be a tool to help them. He said, bear ye one another's burdens. Love one another. It's a two-way street. You help me, I help you. You love me, I love you. That's what it's talking about. I'm talking about the word sacrifice. How do we trust somebody? By, number one, sacrifice. I'm going to give myself to them. I'm going to let them help me, even though I may get hurt in the process. That's sacrifice. I'm willing to trust them. Oh, no. I'm willing to trust God that He put the right person in my life. Now, that sort of tells us we need to be careful about who we hang around with or who we trust or depend on. There's some people, I'll tell you what, they're not going to help you. They're going to hurt you, harm you, hinder you. But God will put somebody in your life to help you. The word sacrifice. Sure, there's going to be a chance that I get hurt. But as far as my part, I'm still going to love people. I'm still going to be there for them when they need me. It won't be easy. It'll be inconvenient. Tragedy never comes at an easy time. It always comes at an inconvenient season. And someone may need you at an inconvenient time, but that's what sacrifice is all about. I love them, they love me. Love one another. Bear ye one another's burdens. I bear yours, you bear mine. The word sacrifice. I thought about Jesus. Remember the verse that I opened up with? He chose 12. And those 12, there were a mixture of types of people. There was the John that probably was the closest, the most dedicated, the most loving for sure, the most aware of what Jesus was doing and saying. And then there was all the way to the other end, there was a Judas that was a betrayer and a hypocrite. And there's all the mixture in between Judas and John. And you know what I thought about? Jesus treated them all the same. He gave himself completely sacrificed. He gave himself completely to all 12. He didn't hold back anything because he knew it was Judas. He didn't hate treated Judas just the same as the rest of the 11. And I'm telling you what, that's sacrifice. But that's my part. That's my part of this equation. I'm to love you and you let you love me. And this morning, sacrifice is not easy. There may be a Judas in your life that hurts you, tears you apart, betrays you, misuses you. But there's also going to be a John in your life that loves you and is there for you and there to help you when you need them the most. And it may be that God uses them to get you through the tragedy you're going through right now. Do you need God? Sure you do. Can you trust God? Sure you can. I mentioned that last week. But you also need people. I think about sacrifice. Give yourself to them. Always think about care, compassion. Always think about calling people, sending cards. I preached that little message since I've been to this church. Care about them. Don't let them think nobody cares. Don't forget about them. Don't expect someone else to do it. You do it. Sacrifice. Sacrifice of yourself. Don't let them think you have forgotten them. One of the biggest tools, most successful tools of the devil is to let Christians think they've been forgotten by other Christians. The person that hadn't come to church not get a call. The person that's sick doesn't get a call. Don't receive a card. I'm telling you, sacrifice. How do I bear others' burdens and let them bear mine? Sacrifice. But then I thought about the word supplication. Supplication. James said, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Part of this connection, part of this relationship, part of this family we're in is to care enough to pray. There's people that you know that need your prayers. And you're touching heaven on their behalf. And it may be your prayers that God hears and answers that helps them through what they're going through right now. I'm talking about bear you one another's burdens. I bear yours, you bear mine. How do I bear others' burdens? By supplication, by praying. And we don't just pray if we pray wisely. Lord, take them out of the problem. That may be the last thing they need. God may be doing a work in their lives where they need the problem. They may be going through a trial or even a temptation that God is allowing or causing. He didn't tempt, of course. But he is trying to work something in their lives, and we need to pray wisely. Lord, help them to get through this. Help them to trust you. Help them to get closer. Give them grace. Give them strength. Help them to see what they need to see. Give them the grace they need. I'm talking about how do we pray for others by praying wisely. Think about the word supplication. Lord, have your will in their lives. I'm talking about helping each other. Bearing each other's burdens. Sometimes you're the one with the burden that needs someone to help. Sometimes you're the one that needs to be a help to others because they're going through trials. I've used the word sacrifice. Give yourself to let them help you and to you be a help to them. And I've used the word supplication, pray for them and pray for yourself. But then I think also the word service, to serve the Lord by serving them. Listen to what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. Do you hear that? Comfort yourself together. Not just me, but all of us in the family. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. Again, the whole family, the whole group, the whole flock, we're working together, serving each other. Let someone serve the Lord by helping you. And then you serve the Lord by helping somebody else. Service, serving the Lord. That verse that we use so much in Hebrews 10:25, where it says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. The verse right before that says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That word provoke means to excite to good. In other words, we're to do and act and talk in such a way to where other Christians are excited about serving God. To provoke them to love and to good works. I'm talking about serving. We are to be servants of the Lord by serving others and letting others serve us. Colossians 3:13 says, forbearing one another. I love this. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. I'm not too thrilled about that last part. The first part says, forbearing one another. You know what that means? Sometimes you just have to put up with them. And literally, that's what it means. Sometimes you just have to put up with them. You know why? Because they're not perfect. Guess what? Newsflash, so are you. I'm not perfect either. I have flaws. I don't tell anybody because I don't want the news to get out, but I'm flawed too. I do things wrong too. I mess up too. I think and say and do dumb things too, and so do you. It says forbearing one another. It says sometimes you just have to be patient with them. They haven't arrived yet. Just keep trusting God and praying that He'll help them. But then He says, forgiving one another. How about serving? Serve others. Sometimes the people you love the most will hurt you the most. But we need to forgive. I've used the word, I'm talking about how in the world do I let others help me, and at the same time, can I be a help others? How can I bear one another's burdens? I've used the word sacrifice and supplication and service. My last word, speech. You knew I had to get here, didn't you? How I talk and what I say. Listen to what the Bible says. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. That tells me that our words, our speech, can help somebody when they're hurting. You have no idea, maybe you do, what I love you means when somebody's hurting. What it means for someone to say, for you to say to somebody, I'm praying for you. I'm here for you if you need someone to listen to. You need somebody to talk to. I'm talking about speech, what we say. Our words can make a difference. You have no idea, maybe you do, how much help words can be. When they say it to you and they're trying to help you, listen to them. Don't say, oh, I've heard that before. Don't in your mind say, I just wish you'd hush. God's trying to use them to help you. Are you trusting others? Are you depending on others? It says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What we say can have a big effect. When you're discouraged, you're going through a trial, somebody's words can make you, help you get through that trial. And by the way, your words to somebody else can do the same. We need to recognize how important it is what we say. Words can help, and it may be exactly what that person needs. By the way, my emphasis is trying to be people helping you. Somebody God will send your way to say the words that you need to hear at the exact right time. Listen to those words. Let God use that person to help you. Take in that bomb. Take in that healing. Take in that help. Words can help. Words can assist. But words can also hurt and can hinder. So we need to be careful what we say. because we can devastate people. It's so easy to just say what we think and think, oh my goodness, why did I say that? It says again in John 13:34, listen to what the Bible says. A new commandment give I unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. You know what the next verse says? Next verse, by this, by what? Your love one for another. Your love for others and others' love for you. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. He said, I've put those people in your lives to help you. And I put you in people's lives that you might help them. That your love for each other might be manifested in how you treat each other and how you speak to each other and how you act to each other. But he said, I just want to tell you one thing. There's a world out there watching you. And when they see these people of love, loving each other, he said, they're going to say, I know one thing, I don't have that kind of love. He said, it will be an indicator that you are my disciple, that you're one of mine, that you're one of the children of God. He said, it'll make a difference in the family, but it'll make a difference in the world. I'm talking this morning about trusting. Can we trust the Scripture? Sure. Can we trust the Savior? Sure. Can we trust the saints? Sure. This morning as I close, I want to ask you, do you know for sure you're saved? Do you know for sure that if you were to die right now, you'd go to heaven? If you don't, as I pray right there in that car, if you want to come down here and find a place to kneel, that's fine. But as I pray, will you call on the Lord this morning and say, Lord, I need to be saved. I need to be forgiven. I don't want to go to hell. I need my sin forgiven. I trust you. I believe you died for me and rose again. I'm trusting you now. Take my life and do with it what you will. But I say to us who are saints, I want to tell you something. The biggest tool that God could use outside of himself and his Spirit and the Word of God is someone, a person. And the biggest tool the devil can use is someone. But we can trust each other. God has put you in the lives of somebody as a tool to help you. Let's pray. Father, thank you. What a blessing it is to be a part of the family. What a blessing it is to know that we can trust you, and trust your word, and trust the people that you've placed in our lives. Help us to be careful. Help us to be sensible, Lord, because we can get hurt. But Lord, help us to do right in spite of being wronged. Lord, have your will with our lives. Help us. Love us. Help us to love you. Love each other. In Jesus' name, amen.